Safely Exposed is an experience intended to
educate without overwhelming,
empower without enforcing,
and elevate without leaving anyone behind.
Let's talk about it. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Safely Exposed podcast with Christine
and B.
Hey, so we have a special guest joining us for our conversation today. So you want to let folks know who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Dr. Tangela Roberts. I am an assistant professor of counseling and school psychology. It's a really, really long title at the University at Buffalo. Well, basically, that means is I train people who want to be mental health professionals to be mental health professionals. So mm-hmm. I teach and train.
And you're my bestie.
Yeah, that's important.
In case everybody was wondering, you know.
Yeah. You're my best woman. love you dearly.
Well, we love having you here. I'm a therapist, so, you know, maybe I'll learn some stuff from you today.
maybe I'll learn from you.
Okay. Well, as long as we're open
to
learning from each other, I guess.
So, I guess we can just get right into the questions.
Yeah, because I mean, we're the reason why we have Tangela on with us is because we're doing a segment called Hustling and Mental Health.
Yep.
And so we want to talk to people in various professions and learn really about how their work impacts their mental health and how their mental health impacts their work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, well, how did you get into this work? Right? You're doing that good work. So how did you get into it?
I've always been like that dorky kid who wanted to do research and who was always into research. So I got like my first pet and this wasn't even by my parents. This was just by me. Before I got the pet, I made myself go to the library and check out all the books on how you can have a pet and what to do. And I wanted to read up on it so I could do it right. So I was always like a little cute little researcher. It's kind of cute, you know? And in high school, we had a psychology class. I didn't take it. They had canceled it. But I remember watching some of the students do this activity where they're acting out certain things. And I thought it was the most important. I thought it was the coolest thing and the most important thing in the world. I was like, oh, psychology is a thing. This is interesting. I didn't know that I could like learn about people. Like that's a thing. And I thought it was great. So I went to college, studied psychology, started getting a little bit deeper into research. And when I was in college, I discovered my sexual orientation was bisexual. And so I started like reading up, kind of like how I did with my pet, reading up about everything I can find about being bi, because I want to learn. And there wasn't a lot that was there. And the stuff that was there, it was about white bi people. And I just didn't really see me in there. And I guess I just had this voice that said, like, if not you, then who? Mm. So I was like, okay, it might be selfish. It's going to be like what in the field we call me search, you know, researching myself, but I don't see anything out there. So I'm going to do not all of, because there's a ton of really, really great people now who are doing QPOC research. And I definitely want to highlight and mention all of the work that they're doing. But I wanted to join that. I wanted to join that and have like a critical mass of like research in this field that we haven't really been seen in before.
Wow, that's beautiful. Trying to inform the work that you, giving yourself what you would have wished you had when you were getting into. That's beautiful.
Definitely.
Okay. So research, you love to research, and you're now you're teaching.
Yeah, teaching is fun. Teaching is really fun. I don't see clients, so I don't have clinical responsibilities now. I do miss it. I miss seeing clients sometimes. Teaching is fun. I like teaching because I can get pretty creative with it and just have fun with it.
Wonderful. So what motivates you to stay in the work and being a professor? Yeah, what motivates you to stay and like, what are the pros?
I'm gonna be honest, because I live in a capitalist society. Mm-hmm. A big corporation is a paycheck.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be me if I didn't say that. And now on to like the feel good stuff.
Yeah. like you need to make some money. I get that.
Yeah, I got bills to pay.
Right.
You know, I got you know, gotta pay my mom bills. But for the feel good stuff, I had this moment a couple of weeks ago where I have a Black queer student who was working with me, and they were just going on and on and on about all of these really, really awesome ideas. And I'm just sitting back like, okay, the only thing I can do is just support you and what and let you go. And it was just like that. I didn't have that when I was in school. You know, when I was in undergrad, I remember there being one, maybe two professors in my master's program, none in my PhD program, absolutely none. So I kind of like the look on, especially like Black AFAB people. I like the look on their faces, and just queer people, Black queer people in general. I like the look on their faces when they like peek in my office and see that it's actually me, and they just get really excited and we're just going off. It's just, it's that energy. Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah.
So that's, so what would then be like a barrier or stressor in your work?
There's a lot.
I'm like, are you the only one? Is there like pressure with that, being in that position?
So I recently changed jobs. So I recently left one institution to another because of some barriers and stressors in the work. But there's just a lot. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on faculty. And with that pressure, there comes some fear, especially for like liberal faculty who are doing progressive stuff. There's like, I'm not thinking of the name off the top of my head, but there's this website that lists all of like the liberal professors. It's like a liberal professor watch list. It's scary. Like, I know people who are on this watch list. I know people who like their job, they're psychologists who teach. Their job is to teach and train mental health professionals. And they're getting death threats because they talk about diversity and multiculturalism. It's that part. I haven't experienced that myself, but it is a definite fear. You know, that's part of the stressors and the fear. Other than that, there's not enough time in the day to get what you need done. Being like a Black queer younger person, for me, I deal with a lot of disrespect, like way too much disrespect that's coming from capable adults. So
students and faculty, or one more than the other?
Yeah, honestly, students more than faculty. Okay. Students and faculty. Yeah. I don't know if it's students who never had a young presenting Black queer professor before, or students who have issues with the intersection of those identities. But I've gotten, in the past, I'll say I've gotten a lot of disrespect from students, graduate students, a lot of disrespect from students, and from faculty as well. Just not, I don't know. Right. Wanting to do things the old traditional way that isn't really working that well.
That way?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So with that being said, like, so how does your mental health, like your mental health status, or how does all that affect your mental health and
like showing up as a professor?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, some of the classes that I teach are just so emotionally draining. Like, we're role-playing therapy sessions. So off the top of our head, we're coming up with like something that someone would need to go to therapy for. And so we're talking that out in sort of like a fishbowl kind of way, for the classes are like 3 hours. So it can be really emotionally draining sort of getting there. I am someone who lives my life with depression and ADHD. And so that definitely is what I have to watch out for. I know that like there are times in the semester when things are getting really, really crunched. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the best at self-care. My apartment is going to look very, very messy. There's going to be stuff all over the place. Don't laugh at me, Bianca.
I didn't say nothing.
And for me, really, like, it's trying to be more mindful about staying on a schedule with my medication. Like, I've gotten to the point where it's not an if, and, or but. It's not like I'm not feeling bad about the fact that I take meds. I take meds, period. Because if I'm in it, I know what I feel like without them, and I don't like feeling like that. So I do. And that's just part of who I am and my story. But as a professor, even as a professor, sometimes there's this stigma about like meds versus being able to do it on your own. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for disclosing that, because, you know, this podcast is all about authenticity and being, you know, your authentic self. So with disclosure, though, how much self-disclosure are you offering, like, it within your job, you know, with like students or other your colleagues when it comes to your mental health and how you're doing?
Yeah. With the students that like I advise, my advisees, we end up talking a lot about ADHD and focus, just because at this level of like research and classes, it can be really, really hard to focus. And so there's kind of a lot of self-disclosure around that. Usually it's me telling students that like I had issues focusing too. I had issues with attention too. And showing them some YouTube videos that helped me, or some other, you know, Instagram posts that helped me. And so really sharing those techniques and stuff. At work, I remember once at my last job, I like just switched medication or something. And I don't know if you know, like sometimes when you're switching medication, you can get like just that rush of emotions and that rush of ugly cry, just because
brain's getting working itself out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting itself together. And I was at work one day and it just hit, and I was just bawling in my office. And then one of my colleagues walked in and she's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm fine. I'm on a new bed and I'm just trying to get it together."
Definitely understand.
Yeah. But it's like I wanted to be able to say something, because I was okay. I wasn't, you know, really distressed at that moment, but I was clearly crying and I couldn't think of a lie. So I'm like, okay, the best thing I can do in this moment is just be honest. Here's what's going on, and hope that we work in this field, y'all will be okay with it.
Right. Yeah. So that being said, where do you draw the line when it comes to the cost of your mental health, right? You talk about medication, you talk about the ups and downs. So like, when you're working with, you know, your colleagues, students, you know, all that stuff, like, where do you draw the line as to like cost to your mental health?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. I think I draw the line at anger, right? Like I can deal with and have dealt with plenty like situations that are just an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. Or it's irritating, or I don't like it. Like, I can handle that. I think we all can handle things that are an inconvenience or it's irritating. We might not like it, but we can handle it. But if it's a situation where I can't get to that level, and I automatically go to like anger, and I stay there and I can't get down, that's when I need to get out. I need to get out of that situation, because there's something that the cost is too high. The cost is too high if I'm going to have to step out of myself.
Okay.
I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. You want to be able to have some control over who you are, mm-hmm. and how, like, if your reaction isn't something that you feel like you're
typically in alignment with how right. you show right. up.
You're like, ooh.
Like, you got me effed up. You know?
Yep. And like, let's just be honest. We all know people that we have interactions with them, and maybe like our own interpersonal things just isn't strong enough, and it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all the people like that. And for professional, actually, no, I'm gonna say family too. For professional family and friends, I really want to get better at drawing the line when it gets to that anger point. Because at this point, it's not necessary to express anger in that way.
Yep. Exactly. Respect that. questions. So, I mean, you've had all the questions today, but is there anything that you want to share with folks in your field, tips, tricks, useful nuggets for hustling and mental health?
I mean, I'd say know that it's hard. Mm-hmm. And this is specifically for students, grad students, and people who are interested in being students. It's hard, right? It's really, really hard. And my personal belief is like the more minority identities you have, the harder it's going to be. And at the same time, I think that people are a lot more resilient than what we give ourselves credit for. And so we can do the hard things, but we just got to know that it's really hard, but we can do it.
To know the truth of it all and not to romanticize going into this field and just going into grad school.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I tell my students all the time, if grad school was easy, everybody would do it. And not everybody does it. So it's not easy.
Indeed.
And it's not just the financial aspect. Yeah. Big thing, right? But it's the emotional,
yeah,
and the mental health cost.
Yeah, it can be really isolating. It can be really isolating. And so it's about finding your tribe, finding your community, whether that's outside of your program. Most of the time it's going to be outside of the program. When I was in grad school, the majority of my friends were outside of the program, if not even in grad school at all. So it's finding your tribe and still being connected to who you are.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that it was outside. Because, you know, I know for me, like a lot of my friendships have been built and like support system have been built from where I was, and especially like in school settings. But, you know, you can't always make that. That's not always a safe assumption that the people that are in your program are going to be, you know, have the same mindset as you, anything like that.
And like, let's just be honest, there's personalities in programs too. Even if you're in a mental health program, that doesn't mean that like personalities aren't going to clash. So having friends that, I like to say, having people that like slightly don't know what the fuck you do is really, really helpful.
For a little while, like I had no real understanding. And when I do get it now, and I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's helpful.
Well, that's great. Those are all the questions we had for today. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to give folks? I know what time, like in terms of the semester, what are y'all working on right now? Midterms, finals, like what is, you know, I'm not
here. In yeah. It's a period in between midterms and finals.
Mm.
It's like stress is really high for everybody. Mm. Probably I've had to like change some assignments and make some things a little bit easier for myself and for them, but probably for me. So it's a kind of a stressful period, but during in November, at least Thanksgiving, even though it's a short break, it's like the light in at the end of the tunnel. So we're all just like running to Thanksgiving break, and then we're going to pass out and food for a couple of days, and then we're like get back on like this really horrible treadmill and run again as fast as you can until Christmas, and then go to sleep for about a month or two.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. Well, I hope the rest of the semester goes well for you.
Yes.
Thank you
again for joining us and just sharing your wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you so much again. I second that. A lot of wisdom. And I appreciated your disclosure because I feel like a lot of people will connect with that and empathize with the struggles of being a professor. And then also like being able to empathize with you being able to make connections with your students and being that support for them.
Being able to be your authentic self in all of that you do.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for doing this podcast. This is awesome.
Of course. We're putting in that work.
Yeah, we love it here.
Well, I hope you have a great rest of your day. To our listeners, I hope you took away some really good points here and just being able to take care of yourself. I hope for the folks that are able to relate to Tangie, to Dr. Tangela Roberts.
Yes.
Okay. That respect on her. You know, that you're able to take away the good things and just the realities of this work. So,
yeah, take care, and we'll talk to y'all again at our next conversation.
Okay. Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All content and information on this platform, including products and/or services, is for informational and educational purposes only, and does not replace medical, psychological, or health advice of any kind with a qualified professional. Take care and be safe.